Before I begin, I'm going to warn you that there will be spoilers. If you haven't seen 2020's Death Drop Gorgeous, I recommend that you do so. Do so right now. Don't worry, I'll wait. And then come back. It is available to rent or purchase on streaming platforms including Amazon, and is worth every penny. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of the Bad Movie Bunny podcast, where horror and thrillers are reviewed, but is the next scream that you hear your own. My name is Lisa, or the Bad Movie Bunny, and on this episode, we serve drag looks with a side of gore. That's right, I'm going to talk about Death Drop Gorgeous, written and directed by Michael J. Ahern, Christopher Dalby, and Brandon Paris, and starring Michael McAdam, Wayne Consalves, Brandon Paris, and Christopher Dalby, while asking the burning question, what level of slaying is fit for a queen? Let's get into it. This episode is one that includes a pairing. Wondering what was fit for a queen, I thought about the perfect snack for this movie. Maybe something a little decadent, but not necessarily something to break the bank. For this glamour gore spectacular, I couldn't think of anything better than dark chocolate followed by a little red wine. I went with half a glass of Cabernet from Trader Joe's, but the best part took the form of dark chocolate provided by Renee's Twisted Chocolate, which you can find at www.twistedchocolates.com. I was at an outdoor market in downtown San Antonio when my friend and I came across their booth. We were asked what kind of chocolate we preferred and then given a small sample. We left with a few bars, needless to say. I chose one that was 78% cacao called Tanzania, which uses fair trade and organic cocoa beans and is non-GMO. You can taste a little bit of berry notes, and I cannot recommend this company enough. You can also check them out on Facebook and Instagram. Our story begins with a young man checking an app on his phone that could be Grindr, but is called Pounder, as a bouncer refuses him entry to a club. Hey, no big thing. Dating app guy has a truck, a sketchy parking lot, and best of all, drugs. Quite romantic for the modern age. The drugs he snorted worked a little too well, however. And too bad for him, his date turned out to be a mass killer with a taste for blood and stabby items. Unaware of the goings-on, a sweet but a little down-on-his-luck guy named Dwayne, played by Wayne Consalves, had ended a relationship and wasn't able to get a bed and breakfast going. He looks to get his job as a bartender back. The bar owner named Tony, played by Brandon Paris, with Pup at his side, wants a drug pusher instead. Dwayne is not having any of it, but he will take a Tuesday shift. Dwayne's friend Brian, played by Christopher Dalby, then takes him to a drag show, even if it was to meet a Pounder date. Either way, the highlight of the evening takes the form of the future of drag, the best body in Providence, one Janet Fitness, played by Matthew Pidge, sporting an 80s aerobic costume and serving a quick dance, getting the crowd riled up. Janet announces a fat-ass contest and points out people in the audience very likely to win. All the while, a garish but shadowy-looking queen hangs out in the corner. Brian's prospective date decides he wants someone less effeminate than Brian, so he insults him, leaves, and answers a Pounder invite that leads him to a glory hole and a meat grinder with a crank. Later, more of Tony's bar staff start finding bodies in the dumpster. If Tony having two cops dispose of the body for a significant amount of cash and a little powder isn't weird, then the bodies being drained of blood is. By then, it's Tuesday, Dwayne's shift, and an aging queen named Gloria Hole, played by Michael McAdam, expresses irritation at this shift and the way drag is changing to a point of walking off mid-performance to read Tony out, while begging for a Saturday slot. Getting it on a technicality in the form of another performer being under house arrest, Gloria then reminds Tony that Gloria will always be the First Lady of Providence. Meanwhile, Janet is out to hold her Queen of Mean crown by way of being nasty to fans like Brian, as well as co-workers, one of whom getting smashed to death with a mirror. However, we can't worry about that, as the bar is hosting the big masquerade ball, and so far it looks like the only monster is young and beautiful Janet's bitchiness. I have to say, I like how Gloria reminds you that no one is young and hip forever, both in direct shading of Janet and a performance involving a costume one could find in an old season of RuPaul's Drag Race, while attempting a Fortnite-style dance to a song called Hashtag. Dwayne, who is a longtime fan, tries to say as such and offer comfort in the dressing room. Gloria will take no pity from a shop boy slash Tuesday bartender. But it isn't just the queens that drain others. Two more bloodless corpses are found causing issues for Tony. It appears that there is a serial killer out there, and the cops can only do so much in the way of paid disposal. Our killer finds more targets on Pounder. At some point, people are going to have to investigate. A fourth guy dies by way of a knife, a massage table, and a bucket, as bar employees are now being questioned. This includes the queens, who gave some pretty funny and sarcastic answers. Nevertheless, people are going to have to start taking this seriously, as people closer to Tony and Dwayne start to drop. Others are becoming more unhinged and stabby, and it leads to quite the show-stopping climax. I love drag shows. I love the wit that goes into said shows, and the onstage jokes between numbers. This was a cast of shady divas, a coked-up and bad-tempered bar owner who shouts at everyone, including his employees, and to the semi-bumbling cops. Caught in the crossfire are two friends, Brian, an aspiring performer who meets the business end of a stiletto, and Dwayne, just trying to survive it all and get over his ex. This was a cool premise for a horror movie, and Providence, Rhode Island is a good setting, but I grew up in New England and have a little bit of a bias. I really like the Mercury's in retrograde punchline in the form of, "What's that supposed to mean?" Now, the way Brian stumbles into the identity of Gloria as killer was innocently bumbly in the best way. He seeks her out to study the drag persona for a character to a point of trying on robes and wigs, only to get stabbed and later shanked with a stiletto. Then, of course, you have Gloria bathing in blood, Elizabeth Bathory style, to regain lost looks and glory when the cops find the tub and get bashed with a sledgehammer. I kind of thought it was funny that Janet Fitness was lauded as the fresh drag act while aping 80s aerobics videos, until getting stabbed on stage by Gloria, who decides to perform over the dead body. The scene was unsettling and creepy as hell. There was a decent body count and creative uses of bingo balls and costuming. It is about the costumes and makeup, which serve to rejuvenate Gloria every bit as much as the blood mixed with booze. Now to the question of what level of slaying is fit for a queen. Well, this isn't the wonderful 1972 giallo, The Red Queen Kills Seven Times, though the two share some elements of drama and colorful scenery. While the characters in Death Drop Gorgeous talk about the killer as a vampire due to the draining of blood, and there is imagery akin to Elizabeth Bathory, who, like Gloria, sought to preserve youth and beauty by the blood of the young and beautiful, this was no vampire movie, but a slasher slap and murder mystery. The same holds true for Red Queen, which had supernatural elements, but turned out to be a straight-up murder mystery. But what level of slaying is truly fit for a queen, Gloria showed some creativity and improvisation based on the situation. But the stiletto to the head had to be the best one. I was a little miffed by the ending. You'd think that Dwayne would have killed off Gloria in a fit of survival instinct and a need to avenge his friend. It looked like he might, but you see Gloria and another queen named Tragedy drive off into the sunset, later sending Dwayne a postcard and, I guess, plotting a life of bloodbaths together? Is it a possible sequel? I don't know, but overall, I enjoyed this movie. The performances were great, and I'd like to see more from this cast and crew. In that vein, pun intended, there is another feature in the works called Saint Drogo, and I'll post a link to their Indiegogo if you'd like to check out a trailer and possibly contribute. Thus ends this episode of the Bad Movie Bunny podcast. If you'd like to find more content, you can visit my blog at www.badmoviebunnies.com or follow me on Twitter or Twitch as Bad Movie Bunnies. Until then, thank you for listening and tune in next time. But before I bounce, here's a few words from the Prescribed Films Podcast Network. Thanks again and check them out.
You're listening to the Prescribed Films Podcast Network, home to hundreds of hours of free podcast entertainment. The shows on this network all have a common goal, providing you with the best discussions about movies and other forms of entertainment media. The PFPN hopes to fill your earholes with audio joy. Visit our website with links to all the other amazing shows at www.thepfpn.com. Thanks for listening.